Have you heard the song The Coward of the County? The song is by Kenny Rogers, the late Kenny Rogers. It's a country song. You should listen to it regardless of your taste. You should really take time to understand whatever this song is about. If you haven't, the anecdote would be it's about a gentleman who's perceived as harmless in the county. But then, as the song goes on, he finds an opportunity to actually show the whole county that he's not harmless. He just likes to be personal. If you haven't listened to the song, or you haven't heard it on whatever place you've been touring this country from, you really should listen to it. And I think some people believe that this country is something like that, where you're not in a position to be courageous. Well, the fuel goes up and the people plan to go on an industrial strike. Then the guy who is in charge of the Matatu Owners Association decides to tell them, chill out, don't have to go on strike. Probably a perception of me, once I saw that article, I was like, there's a highly likelihood that money has exchanged hands. You know, just simple money. Very, very, very high level kind of money. And so the strike again goes on, doesn't go on. And the Matatu guys are feeling like they've been shortchanged. But so is life. Don't you think that several of us feel the same in different positions of our lives, be it at your homes, be it different areas of your workplace or your stocks or your businesses? Like, remember when the company Centum went under with several people's monies? We could see them on Twitter, like they were promised some money to high returns kind of an investment. They put in their money, and then when the time that they had agreed to get back their money comes, the company just doesn't deliver as promised. Such kind of frustrations have been happening this year and last year due to COVID and all these things. And it's sometimes very, very disappointing, very discouraging. And some would say, like, for example, somebody say that in Germany, the country decided to increase the price of fuel, and in an hour, everybody with vehicles just stopped using them. That was like high risk. It would basically mean that people don't no longer use fuel. So the country to reconsider and to say, we're not raising the price of fuel and the likes. And so this, somebody was suggesting that probably Kenya should do that. We can't do that because we have more frustrations than the first world countries. You see, if you don't use your car, it's highly likely that you want to get to the place you want to go. And they bought this car to give you easy access to your place of work or your business or all these things. So if you don't use it, you won't reach that place in time. If you decide to walk to wake up and just walk to work instead of using the Matatus because of the prices of the fare prices, you decide, I'll reach there at what time? You see, because you're feeling that it's not the kind of thing you want, you decide to go and get yourself a bike. In your place of work, there are no exactly places to change your outfit or something like that. It's a whole thing. So the pleasures that the first world provides are not exactly in this country. So doing that is not exactly hard of, like, it's a good thought, yes, but the opportunity cost you'll be losing. It's higher than basically most of us like our pleasures. In some of us, the pleasure is not exactly as pleasure, they are necessities. You need to have them to actually to get to your next day. And I'd suggest that if you have heard this parable of the sower, we are that seed that was thrown in a place where there's a lot of thorns. And so you can't exactly go and dump our cars and not go use the fuel because we have many thorns, many pleasures, many things that are in affecting or determine our choices. So we can't exactly do anything. So the price of fuel goes up to excruciating heights, and you can't do anything. A dossier comes out of some company in some county, siphoning fuel from petrol cars and tanks. Everything you can do is just make a noise on Twitter, come back to normal lives, and go and look for money. That's the only thing that you can do, actually. So you're not exactly a coward of the county, nor are we cowards. We just that you have so many pleasures that you can't exactly do anything. And so whoever told us that democracy is for us lied to us. Democracy is for the person who has the most money, who is able to influence the public and sell them the ideas, and the public gallop it up. And they choose them. Because, to be honest, none of our leaders is clean. And every one of them is going there to support their own agendas. And basically, every country that deals with is about democracy. Basically, the ones who are leading have their own agendas, and then they decide, are we going to influence you to choose us? And I know some of us believe that that stone that you have in our pockets that you can use to bring back our lives is the electioneering years. If Eric Wainaina's article on the People's Daily is anything to go by, we also lost that one too. Because the people who have the money have found ways to influence who the person to whom becomes our leader. That article exposed a lot of things in terms of how the different elections we have had in this country was chosen. Why did we end up with, say, Kibaki, or end up with Honorable Uhuru Kenyatta? That article exposes and let us know that there are different deals that will happen in the background, that we who don't have the muscle to be in those boardrooms can't know. So what are we left with? We are left with our neighbors. We are left with our friends. We are left with our business partners and workmates, employers and employees. That's the only sleeve that we have, the only trick we have up our sleeves. Basically, it's just the whole sleeve that we have. We don't even have a trick. Because if we say that we depend on the electioneering years, they have found ways to go around that. If you think that if I choose the person from my home will make any changes, they reach there and just serve their own masters. Because basically, if you've been chosen in a boardroom, become somebody else's slave. You have your own master that you have to serve. They have given you their money, they have given you the opportunity, they have manipulated the media, they have manipulated the newspapers, they manipulated the social media feeds to support your bid to become the president. So basically, you owe them. And what has been left for us as the voters? The guys who are parents, the guys who have children in these schools, the guys who have loans, the guys who owe people money. What is left for us? It's if you have good friends, if you have good neighbors, and you just actually live well with them. Because everything has been digitalized. Reduced to figures and numbers, and just that's where we are. So as you go out and go find jobs, as you go to your employment or your workspace, look at that person, that buyer, that client, that employee, that workmate, as the person who actually holds your key to your future. Because if they are peaceful with you, you'll be able to pay your loans. If they are actually if they are using their time and resources well, you'll be able to have an extra shilling to move for the next day. If your neighbors actually cared for you, you'd use less of your resources to actually live well. You won't have to build walls to actually live because you have a good neighbor. That's what we are left with. And so when Jesus says this, when Jesus says that use your earthly possessions to acquire friends, he's very, very serious. He could have said use your earthly possessions to be leaders or depend on your leaders or things like that. But he said use your earthly possessions, that time you have, that money you have, that skill you have. Use those opportunities. Use those skills you've been given to acquire friends. He was very serious when he said that. It's like, I know you have some things with you. You have all this. If you look in the olden times, you understand why this king would ask his son to marry that king's daughter to have peace. Basically, that's what Solomon did, would marry the wives of different kingdoms and would have peace for this whole time he was king. So, that's the only sleeve we have. That's the only trick we have up our sleeves. So that whenever this person goes on and chooses whoever they want to choose during the electioneering time, when he comes home, it's like, I chose him. I chose her. I chose this person for this. But hey, it is only you, my neighbor, that can make sure this my life in this earth is pleasurable. Yeah.